We are holding on Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis. We are drawing closer to the end of Maseches Chulin. Baruch Hashem, tomorrow we will finish. So let's get moving here. We're at the Mishnah Daf Kuf Mem Amid Beis. Says the Mishnah, Haisama Ofefes, if the mother bird was hovering over the babies, Bizman Sheknafe Nogos Bekan Chayv L'Shalech, if the wings of the mother were touching the nest or touching the babies, then you're going to be Chayv L'Shaluach HaKan. But Ein Knafe Nogos Bekan Patam L'Shalech, but if it's so high above the babies that the wings are not touching the babies, then it's Patam L'Shalech. You don't have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. Ein Shamela Afroach Echad, let's say you only have one little chick, or Beitza Ech Achas, or one little leg, chayv l'shalech. He's still chayv in shaluach hakan. Shemar kan mikol makom, because the pasuk says kan, and we dash that means kan mikol makom. Whatever kind of nest it doesn't have to have a minimum number in the nest. So what exactly is the drasha? So the Numak Yossi says from the lashon yachid. It doesn't say kinim. It says kan, because in the hemshach of the pasuk says efrochim beitzim b'lashon rabin. The fact that it says lashon yachid over here teaches us that it's mikol makom. In the sefer Or Tzvi, the Biur Yadav quotes, he explains that the limud is really from the extra words kan tzipor that appear in the pasuk, because the pasuk could have said ki yikari lefanecha baderech efrochim obeitzim ve'eim rovetzes. It didn't have to say kan tzipor, just describe what there is, that there's efrochim, there's obeitzim, there's neim rovetzes. Obviously then it's a kan tzipor. So he says it's a clear description of the metzius of the kan tzipor. So why does it have to say beferish kan tzipor? It must be coming to tell me kan mikol makom, that any sort of nest, even if it only has a single bird, a single chick in it, that would be enough to be mechayev in shiluach hakan. Says the Mishnah further, hayusham efrochim mafrichim. Let's say the babies are already not babies anymore; they're able to fly. O beitzim muzaros. Or let's say you have eggs that are infertile eggs, eggs that are unable to develop any chicks ever. So then patum l'shalech. Then you're not going to be chayiv in shiluach hakan. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'heim rovetzes ala afrochim o ala beitzim. Pasuk says you have the mother sitting on the afrochim or on the beitzim. So we darshin ma efrochim b'nei kayama af beitzim b'nei kayama. Just like efrochim have to be b'nei kayama, things that can survive, birds that can survive, the beitzim also have to be something that can turn into something that can survive. So that obviously excludes yatsu muzaros. That excludes eggs that are never going to be able to turn into a living bird. Uma habeitzim tzrichin le'iman, af efrochim tzrichin le'iman, yatsu mafrichin. But also we learn that just like beitzim obviously still require the mother to protect it because they can't do anything, so too only efrochim, when you have the birds already, the eggs have already hatched, only those efrochim that are still tzrichin le'iman, that still require the aid of the mother, are going to be chayvin shaluach hakan. But if they've already grown up to the point where they're able to fly on their own, they're able to seek their own food, so then you're not going to be chayv in shiluach hakan. The Shulchan Aruch paskins, all of this, the halachos of shiluach hakan, paskins Shulchan Aruch paskins in Chosh Mishmas in Reish Yud Gimel, habeitzim ve'afrochim atzmam sheyesh b'shavach lo kono som bala shavach kol zman shlo parchu, that the owner of a shavach is not kono the beitzim and afrochim if they don't yet fly. V'dover zem mitakonos chacham lu u'mishum lo sikach ha'im al abanim naguba. And that's a takonos chachamim because of the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. L'ficha charotza l'haknos afrochum u'beitzim elu l'chaveru mitapeach al ha'shovach ad sheyifruchu ha'imachos. So if you want to be makna chicks or eggs that are still at the stage where there should be a mitzvah of shiluach hakan, well then you got to do the mitzvah first. You have to be mishaleach first. You can't be makna anything, because the takanas chachamim, that even though they're owned, but because we're afraid the mitzvah is not going to be done, it can't be makna until the mitzvah is done. As soon as they're kvar parchu, so then the bala shovach is kona, because the mitzvah no longer is going to apply. Meaning, if you get the chicks flying a little bit, so that's it, and there's not going to be a mitzvah shiluach hakan anymore. Like our mishnah says, yatsu mafrichin. Tan Rabbanu, we have a brisa. Rovetzes veloma ofefes. The mother's supposed to be sitting on the babies, but not ma'ofefes, not hovering above it. So yachla filu knafeh nogos pekan. I might think that even if the mother is hovering, but it's so closely hovering that its wings are touching the kan, it would still be pater from shiluach because it's not sitting. Tamalom rovetes. That's why the pasuk says rovetes. Rovetes teaches me that as long as the wings are touching, it is considered to be sitting on the kan. So says the Gemara, my Talmud, how does the word rovetes show you that it can be hovering? Doesn't rovetes mean sitting on the babies, on the eggs? So how does that show you that it could even be hovering as long as the wings are touching? So midaloksiv yosheves, because it could have said yosheves. The fact that it chose the term rovetes shows you that it's a little higher above than yosheves, but it's like yosheves, then it's going to be chayiv in shiluach hakan. So if the mother is hovering above, even though it's not sitting directly, as long as the wings are still able to touch the eggs or the chicks, or still touching the eggs or the chicks, so then you're going to be chayiv in shiluach hakan. What if the mother is sitting between two branches of a tree? There are two branches directly above the nest where the eggs are, and the mother's in between those two branches. So what's the halach? Is there a chiv of shiluach hakan or not? So roim kolshim tishamit nofelas aleim chayv l'shalech. We have to imagine what would happen if we were to remove these branches. Is the mother directly above where the mother's putting her weight on those branches and is positioned directly above the nest where removing those branches would land the mother directly on the birds? So then it would be chayv in shiluach hakan. V'imlav pater. But if removing the branches would not land the mother directly on the babies, then it's going to be pater from shiluach. Then it's not considered to be rovetzes. So meisvei asked the Gemara, "Haisa yosheves beinehen patur milishalech." If the mother is sitting in between the eggs, as Rashi says, beitza mikan, u beitza mikan, mother's in the middle. There's an egg on one side and an egg on another side, so the mother's not on top of them. It's just in between, surrounded by the eggs. So that's patur from shiluach hakan. Al gabehen chayiv lishalech. If the mother is on top of the eggs, then you're chayiv in shiluach hakan. Haisa ma'ofefes. If the mother is hovering above, afilu knafeh nogos pekan, patur milishalech. If the mother is hovering above, even if its wings are touching the kan, it's patur from shiluach. Now that line, obviously this last line we just read, is directly against the Mishnah. We just had the Mishnah that said that it's chayiv as long as the wings are touching, and we even darshened it from a word in the pasuk, from the word rovetzes. But we'll get back to that. First we're going to focus on the previous line that we said, that if it's sitting in between them, it's patur, but on top of them it's chayiv. So my love al gabein dumyo debenehen, isn't the situation where it's sitting on top of them that you're going to be chayiv a case of the mother sitting on top that's similar to the other case where the mother was sitting in between the eggs? In that, ma benein de nagabahu afal gabein de nagabahu, that when it's sitting in between them, must be talking about that it's touching the eggs. So too, when it's al gabein, it's touching the eggs. Aval rov de ilan, but if it's just touching the branches that are above the nest and it's not touching the eggs at all, pater, then it should be pater. So how could you say that when you have a case of Rov De'ilan that just envision that the branches were removed and see, try to imagine in your mind what would happen with the mother? No, it should automatically be pater. It's not even touching. It's not even touching the eggs. So it should automatically be pater. So says the Gemara, no, we misunderstood the Braisa. Lo, al gabeyan dumyo de beinayan. The way that we say that the case of al gabeyan is similar to beinayan is not in that Beinehen is obviously touching, so al gabehen must be a case of touching as well. No, ma beinehen de lo noga alayhu, af al gabehen de lo noga alayhu. V'hainu rov de ilan, just like the case of beinehen, is even though the mother is touching the eggs, it's not touching on the top of the eggs because it's sitting in between them. It's not on top of the eggs. So too, the case of al gabehen is de lo noga alayhu. Could even be a case where the mother is hovering above and not yet directly touching on top of the eggs. Why isn't it? Because it's sitting on the branches. The branches are in the way. So achinami mistavr, and it's mistavr to say that's the assumption over here. Diisal kadaitach rov de ilan patur. Because if you're going to say when it's sitting on the branches of a tree, that it's going to be pater. Adetani ha'isoma ofefes afilu kunafeh nogos bekan pater l'shalech. Instead of saying that when it's hovering above, even if its wings are touching the kan, it's pater from shiluach hakan. Listen, Rav De'ilam v'kolshkein ofefes. You want to come up with a case that's pater from shiluach hakan? Say even better. Say a bigger chiddush. Say a case where it's resting all of its weight on Rav De'ilam that are directly above the kan, and even that's going to be pater. Kal v'chomer then when it's flying, when it's hovering above, obviously that's going to be pater. If even when it's resting all of its weight on branches that are directly above the nest, it's pater, then obviously when it's flying, it's going to be pater. The fact that we don't give that example of Ben Rov De Ilan being pater must be that Ben Rov De Ilan is in fact chayiv. So says Gemara, no, maybe he wants to dafka give me a case of hovering. No, there's a bigger chiddush in telling me the case of Malfefes, because when it's a Ben Shnei Rov De Ilan, it's not touching the eggs. So it's a bigger chiddush to tell me that when it's hovering and the wings are touching the eggs, that even though there's direct physical contact, it's going to be pater, than to say that if it's sitting on branches and not touching the eggs, it's going to be pater. Maybe that's why Dafka chose a case of hovering rather than the case of Shnei Rov De Ilan. So says Gemara, but now we finally come back to the major issue of the fact that this brisa says a line that's directly against the Mishnah. And that line is this line that we're being medayik in now. That when it's ma'ofefes, when it's hovering above, our Mishnah said as long as the wings are touching the eggs, the kan, then it's going to be chayiv. Here this brisa said pater. So frankly, marva anantana and bizman sheknafel nogos bekan chayiv l'shalech. Didn't our Mishnah say you're chayiv l'shalech in that situation? The case of the brisa must be that your pater mishalech, where the mother is hovering over the birds, but its wings are not touching the tops of the chick of the chicks or the eggs. The wings are touching the sides, and since they're touching the sides, it's pater. But if the mother is hovering above and the wings are touching the tops of the eggs or the chicks, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And in that case, you would be chayiv because it literally needs to be on top. The fact that the mother's on top is critical. Otherwise, it would just have a din of beinehen. So says the Gemara, Ikeda Amri, others have the following version of the preceding discussion, meaning the next 10 lines or so, we're not going to have anything new, we're just going to have everything with a little bit of a different presentation. So, Lema Mesayele, Hayse Yosheves Beinehen, Patum L'Shaleach, that we bring it as a raya, that if it's sitting in between the eggs, it's pater from shiluach. Al gabei and chayev l'shalech. But if it's sitting on top, it's chayev in shiluach hakan. Ha'isum al fefes, if it was hovering above, afilu knafeh nogos bekan, even if the wings were touching the kan, pater min l'shalech is pater from shiluach. So we instead of bringing this brisa, which we just brought before as a meisvei, right, where we said that, oh, don't you see, al gabein is dumya de beinein, where just like beinein, they're nogeya, so to al gabein, they're nogeya, and but if it were rov de ilan, it's pater, so we brought it as a meisvei to try to prove that rov de ilan are pater. Now we're bringing it as a raya. We're going to try to prove that the case of rov de ilan, where it's sitting on the branches, it's going to be chayiv. That my love al gabein dumya de beinein, that we compare al gabein to beinein in the following way: ma beinein de lo naga alayhu, af al gabein de lo naga alayhu. Just like in the case of beinein, yes, it's touching, but it's not touching alayhu. It's not touching on top. It's only touching on the sides. So to al gabein is a case where it's lo naga alayhu. That's where you're going to be. Where you're going to be pater. V'hainu rov de. That's where you're going to be chayiv rather. V'hainu rov de. That even in a case where it's al gabein and not touching it on top, you're still going to be chayiv. And what case is that? Rov de ilan. That's the case where it's resting on the branches that are directly above the nest. So you see, it's actually a great raya that the case of rov de ilan is going to be chayiv. So says Gemara, lo, it's not a good raya. And instead, we interpret the brisa the way we interpreted it in the first presentation when we asked it as a kasha. Lo, al gabein, dumya de beinein. We compare al gabein to beinein in a different way. Ma beinein de naga behu, af al gabein de naga behu. That just like in the case of beinein, the mother is clearly touching the eggs, so too in the case of al gabein, where you're chayiv in shiluach, it's only if the mother is touching the eggs. Aval Rav De Ilan, but in the case of Rav De Ilan, the mother is not touching the eggs, and therefore Potter, therefore it's not going to be Chayv in Shluach HaKan. So Frek the Gemara, Ihachi, if that were the case, Adiktani Seifa Isama Ufefes, Afilu Knofel, Nogos Pekan, Potter, when the Seifa wanted to come up with a case where you Potter from Shluach HaKan, instead of telling me a case where it's hovering above and its wings are touching the Khan, that it's Potter, tell me a bigger Chiddush. Listening, Rav De Ilan. Same point we made before. Why not tell me the case of Rav De Ilan? V'kol shekein ma'ofefes. And then all the more so, if even in the case of Rav De Ilan, it's going to be Potter, then certainly where it's not even sitting, but where it's hovering, it's going to be Potter. Says the Gemara, just like we said before. Ma'ofefes is tzrichlei. No, ma'ofefes is actually a greater Chiddush. Da'afilu k'rafel nogos b'kan Potter, because ma'ofefes is going to be Potter, even though it's actually in direct physical contact, even though the mother's wings are actually touching the kan. Patim l'shalech. So then we asked again the same kasha we asked on the Brisa before, again very repetitive Gemara, that didn't we learn that when its wings are touching the kan, you're chayiv in shiluach? No, that's the Brisa is talking about where it's nogea on the side, and that's why it's patim l'shalech. The Mishnah is talking about where it's nogea on top, and that's why it's chayiv in shiluach. Fine, new Mishnah. Sholcha v'chazra, afilu arba v'chamisha pa'amim. Ein sham efroach. Sorry about that. Ein sham ella efroach. Right? The Mishnah had said that if you only have one efroach, so you're still chayv in shiluach hakan, because kan mikol makom. Right? That's what the Mishnah had said. Amlehu merabban the Rava. So a certain one of the rabbanon said to Rava, ema ibcha. Why don't you say the opposite? Say as follows: Ein sham ella efroach echad. Obeitza achas patum l'shaleach. To be an efrochim obeitzim. After all, pasuk uses plural terms. Efrochim or Beitzim. So say if you have less than plural, you can be Pater. Veleka, Hayisham Efrochim Africhim or Beitzim Muzaros, Chayiv L'Shaleach. Shnemar Kan Mikol Makom. We have the Riboy of Kan, which implies Kan Mikol Makom. So instead of saying that Efrochim and Beitzim comes to exclude Efrochim Africhim and Beitzim Muzaros, chicks that could fly already, and unfertilized eggs, so unfertile eggs rather, so why don't you say the same thing about, why don't you reverse it and say that Kan comes to include the unfertile eggs and the chicks that could fly already, and you're Chayiv in Shiluach in those cases, and say that you're Putter in a case where it's only Froach Echad or Beitza Achas. So how do you know which Riboy? We know we have one Riboy and one Miut. How do you know that which halacha the Riboy should include and which halacha the Miut should exclude? So says Gemara, Im kei nichtav kra ve'eim rovetzes aleihem. Mai ve'eim rovetzes al ha'efrochim o al ha'beitzim. Why does the pasuk have to dafka say that the mother is rovetz, is sitting on the efrochim or the beitzim? La'kushe efrochim le'beitzim u'beitzim le'efrochim. It's come to make a hekish between the efrochim and the beitzim and the beitzim and efrochim. That just like the efrochim, just like beitzim, don't fly, so too when the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan applies to Efrochim, to chicks that have already hatched, it's only if they can't fly. And just like Efrochim, chicks that have already hatched are obviously viable, so too the types of Beitzim that there's a Chiyuv of Shiluach HaKan is only if they're viable. Meaning it's not just that we have one Riboy, one Miut. We have a Riboy, a Miut, and a Hekish. The Hekish is between Efrochim and Beitzim. So the Hekish guides us in which halach we need to be mimait. Once we know which halacha we need to be mimait because of the hekish, so then we then the only halacha left to be marba with the word kan mikol makom is if there's only one, if it's a quantity issue of how many afrochim or beitzim. Fine, that is that mishnah. Now new mishnah. Sholcha v'chazra. Now we're really up to it. Sholcha v'chazra afilu arba v'chamisha pamim. Let's say you send away the mother and it keeps coming back. 4 or 5 times, the mother keeps returning. Chayiv, you're still chayiv in the mitzvah. Shnemar shalech t'shalech es ha'im. Pasuk says shalech t'shalech es ha'im. So that's the mitzvah. You have to keep sending it away. So the Be'er Yitzchak writes that based on this drasha, we understand perhaps why you don't make a bracha on the mitzvah shalach chayiv. Remember when we started the perek, we discussed 5 different shittos in Rishonim. Why it is that there's no bracha on the mitzvah shalach chayiv? So was that a Shabbos daf? That was Shabbos, right? So the Bar Yitzchak raises the issue, and he says based on this halacha, it makes sense because since you have to be choshe Nefesh, then maybe after you send it away, it's always going to come back. So it's not, the Gemar mitzvah is not biyadcha. The ability to complete the mitzvah is not necessarily in your hands, because you might send it away and then it's going to come back and you won't be there anymore. So it will turn out that when you made the bracha, you weren't gomer the mitzvah. Or even if it is in your hands to do it later, but the Gemar mitzvah is not, you only make the bracha when you're able to be gomer the mitzvah on the spot, not when there's going to be a hemshech that's going to take a very long time and the mitzvah is not going to be done till much, much later. You don't make a bracha at the early stage of the game. So he says that's why we don't make such a bracha. Where do we have such a concept that whenever it's not in your hands to finish the mitzvah, there's no bracha? So the Rashba writes that way in the Tshuva, I think, in Simon Yud Ches and Chelek Aleph. I think the Rashba writes that if in the midst of giving tzedakah, we don't make a bracha because the ani might not be mekabel. He might say, I'm not interested in taking money. So since it's not in your control to be gomer the mitzvah, so mele, you don't make a bracha on that mitzvah. That's it's interesting. The Ravid has such a daya that you would only make the bracha birchas erusin after the erusin, because the kala might say, I'm not interested. So over there, it's interesting. The Ravid doesn't say that you don't make the bracha at all. He says, then we just would suspend the halacha of overlas yasan. You'd make the bracha afterwards rather than before. Over here, there is no afterwards. You're not sure. The mother might still come back. So anyway, the Bar Yitzchak writes that maybe it's not such a good explanation of why we don't make a bracha over here, because it's not a gemar mitzvah. He says, first of all, it could be a gemar mitzvah if you send away the mother and then right away grab the eggs, so that is the Gemara mitzvah. So then the mother doesn't have what to return to. So that would be, so it is completely in your hand to be Gomer the mitzvah. And second of all, how do I know that when you send away the mother and it comes back, the fact that you have a chiyuv to be mishaleach the mother means that you weren't Gomer the mitzvah the first time? Maybe you were Gomer the mitzvah and there's a new chiyuv, that every time the mother comes back, a new chiyuv of shiluach is generated. Who says that it's the same chiyuv and you weren't Gomer the mitzvah? So at first he thought it was a good explanation of why we're not mevarech. Then he had second thoughts, that maybe it's not such a good explanation of why we're not mevarech, and we have to go with one of the other four explanations we mentioned the other day as to why there's no bracha on shiluach hakan. Next halacha in the Mishnah, Amar Harini Notal Sa'im Umishaleach Sabanim. If a person says, I'm going to take the mother and send away the children, meaning the person's not interested in the babies, the person's interested in the mother. So Chayiv, still Chayiv in Shaleach Khan. Shinamar Shaleach Shalach Sa'im. Pasuk says, Shaleach to Shalach Hasem. Now there is a machlokes rishonim, what the nature of this chiyuv of someone who takes the mother and leaves the child is. And the sort of the machlokes is in the geder exactly of what the isra of Losika Ha'im Alabanim is all about. Rashi understands that the isra over here is to take the mother me'al abanim while still sitting on the children. The isra of Losika Ha'im Alabanim is, don't take the mother while still sitting on the eggs. So according to Rashi, if you take the mother, aside from violating the mitzvah saseh of shalech to shalech haseim, of not doing the mitzvah that you're supposed to do, like it says in the Mishnah, you're also, I mean, that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, shenemar shalech shalech haseim. You didn't do the mitzvah asay. Rashi says, yeah, of course you didn't do the mitzvah saseh. You also violated the lo saseh of lo sikachem alabanim. Why does the Mishnah only mention the mitzvah saseh of shalech to shalech haseim? So you could say that since the Chachamim were assumed that the chelek that's misyaches l'shluach ha'eim is mechayiv if you take the mother instead of sending it away and you didn't take the children, so from there we learn the chelek halav as well. So it all starts with shaleach. I mean, the basis of the lav is the mitzvah shiluach, but really you're in violation of both an asay and a los asay. However, the Rambam understands differently. The Rambam understands that the Isser is to take the Isser of Losikach Ha'im Alabanim means don't take the aim ubanim yachdav. Not don't take the mother from on the banim when you're only taking the mother. It means don't take the mother and the banim all together. If you take the aim below banim, even though you violate the isra say, you didn't do the mitzvah say of shaleach shalach seim, it's a bitul asay of not being mishaleach the mother, but it is not a violation of the losa say of losikach eim al banim. And that's why the Mishnah is precise. The Mishnah says if you take the mother mother and leave the chicks, you leave the children, you have not done the mitzvah saseh. You haven't done shaleach l'shalach. It doesn't mention a word about the lo saseh. So fundamental machlokas Rashi in the Rambam, in the case where you take the mother and you leave the babies, violation of a failure to do an asay, definitely. Violation of a lo saseh, Rashi says yes, the Rambam says no. So Minchas Chinuch, very sharp Minchas Chinuch, points out that the mitzvah Tav Kuf Mem Dalid points out that there's going to be a Gemara we're going to see later today, hopefully, in a few minutes, that darshins from the extra word Tishalach to be marbe, that even if you want to take the banim for a dvar mitzvah, you're chayiv to be mishaleach the mother. That even if your only interest in the banim is for a dvar mitzvah, let's say you want to use them for tzipari mitzora or something like that, still you're chayiv in shiluach hakan. And the Gemara is going to say, why do I need a drasha for that? That's pashut. Why should a mitzvah pater you from Shiluach HaKan? By mitzvah Shiluach HaKan, there's an Isra Seh and an Isra Lav. Shiluach HaKan is both Shaleach Teshalach and Losikachim Alabanim. So the Aseh of whatever mitzvah you're trying to do with those banim would never be Docha, the Los Aseh V'Aseh of Shiluach HaKan. It's Pashut. I don't need a drasha for that. So the Gemara tries to find a way where you could have a Shiluach HaKan situation where you don't violate the Lav of Shiluach HaKan, you only are in violation of failing to do the assay of Shiluach HaKan, whereby you will then have a case where the mitzvah you're trying to do with the bird, let's say it's Tzipori Mitzora, is an assay versus another assay of Shiluach HaKan, where it's just going to be an assay and an assay. So says Minchas Chinuch, according to the Rambam, it shouldn't be very hard to find such a case, because the case of the Mishnah is exactly such a case, where you take the mother and leave the children. According to the Rambam, it's a violation of the assay and not a violation of the Lo Saseh. Why didn't the Gemara just think of that case? It's a major kasha in the Rambam. According to Rashi, I understand our case in the Mishnah is both a failure to do the Aseh and a violation of the Lo Saseh. So when the Gemara is looking for a Shiluach HaKan case that's only a failure to do the Aseh, our case won't help out. But according to the Rambam, that our case is only a failure to do the Aseh, then it should have helped out. Okay, third case of the Mishnah. Not all sabanim virzirana va'achka chazra ha'em aleihen patum lishaleach. If you took the banim and then you put them back, and then the mother came and returned, then you're patum lishaleach. Then at that point, it's considered ready to be mezuman, and ki yikari can't see prat lemezuman, so you're not chayiv in shiluach hakan anymore at that point. Good, says the Gemara. Amleihu mirabban l'rava ve'ema shaleicha dezimna teshalach trei zimnin. How do you know that you have to do it afilu arba v'chamisha pam, you have to do it over and over and over again? Maybe shaleach means once, and teshalach means twice. The double lashon tells you it means twice. So Amleihu said, no, you misunderstood. I don't think shaleach teshalach teaches you to do it multiple times. Shaleach afilu mea pam. Just shaleach teaches you to do it as many times. It says send it away. It never puts a limitation on it. It's not the double lashon from where I'm learning that you have to keep on doing it over and over again. Again, Teshalach teaches me, the double lashon teaches me something else. Teshalach in the elul dvar rishus. Teshalach teaches me that I would have thought that you only do shaluach hakan if you want the birds, if you want the chicks for dvar harishus. Lidvar mitzvah minayin. How do I know that even if you want it for dvar mitzvah, you're still chayiv in shaluach hakan? Tamar lomer teshalach mikol makom. Pasuk says teshalach mikol makom. That's why I know that even for dvar mitzvah. So I'm the rabbi, brings Rav Yosef bar Rav and Rav Kana. El time the kasher command teshalach halav hachi yav aminu dvar mitzvah lo. But the Havamina would have been, had it not said to Shalach, that if you want the chicks for Dvar Mitzvah, there's no mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, so this is the sugi we were just referring to. Asay velos asayhu. What do you mean? Shiluach HaKan is an asay and a los asay. It's an asay of Shalach to Shalach, and it's a los asay of Losikachem Albanim. So even if you wanted to do a mitzvah, it should be obvious that you're still chayiv in Shiluach, because ve'ein asay docha los asay v'asay. A mitzvah asay is never docha the combination of an asay and a los asay. So it says, and I think we discussed this yesterday, right? That why is ein asay, when ein asay is docha los asay v'asay, if you use the asay to if you don't listen to that halacha, let's say the halacha were that you're chayiv in shiluach, so you can't just take the mother as a tzipori mitzora. Let's say you did take the mother as tzipori mitzora. Do you get, and let's say there was such a thing as malchus and shiluach hakan. We'll discuss that later today. Let's assume you get malchus and shiluach hakan. Would you still get malchus? How does Ein Aseh Docha Lo Seva Aseh work? I think the Minchas Chinuch discussed this. Do we say that the Aseh of the Tzipori Mitzorah is really Docha, the Los Aseh of Shiluach HaKan, but then you're still left with the Aseh of Shiluach HaKan, and that's why you're not allowed to do it? In which case, all you really violate is an Aseh, so you don't get Malkus? Or do we say no? When you have an Aseh and a Los Aseh together in the same mitzvah, it's a reflection of the severity of that mitzvah, and it means that the Aseh of Tzipori Mitzorah can't affect whatsoever the Aseh and Los Aseh of Shiluach HaKan. And if you don't do the halacha, you actually take it as Tzipori Mitzorah, you're going to be in violation of a full-fledged Los Aseh and get Malkus. So that's something in the Minchas Chinuch, I think. But anyway, I think he's told it in Machlokes Rishonim. But so the Gemara says, what's the Havamina that when you're trying to get the chicks for a mitzvah, what's the hava amina that you'd be put from shiluach? Ein aseh docha lo seh v'aseh. So it says more latzricha da avar v'shakla le'aim de lav avrei asehu de'ika. Cases you already took the mother, so you already violated the isra of l'sikach malabanim. Now you just have the mitzvah aseh of sending away the mother. So now all you're left with is the aseh. So leis aseh v'lishchi aseh. So let the aseh of tzipori mitzora come and bidocha the aseh of shiluach. Kamashvelan therefore comes to tell you that no, you still have a mitzvah of shiluach. Says the Gemara, Hanich leman detani kimu v'lo kimu, leman detani bitlu v'lo bitlu, kamil lo shachta lo avri l'lav. What do you mean you've already violated the lav? That's a major question in Maseches Makos. The Gemara Maseches Makos discusses when you have a lav that can be fixed by doing a mitzvah sase. Let's say you steal something. So the way to fix it is by returning it. So at what point do we say that you can get malchus even though it's a lav anita klase? Is there any point where we say, you know what? Now the lav is definitely violated to an unfixable point. Now you're going to get malchus. So there's machlokus in the Gemara and Maseches Makos. Is it at a point where we say kimu? We get the guy, we sit the guy down, and we say, listen, you did an avera, go fix it. And he says, no, I'm not going to fix it. So even though he might change his mind tomorrow and fix it tomorrow, since he just said no, we can give him malchus right now. Or is it bitl v'bitlu that we tell the guy, go fix it, and he's, or we don't even have to tell him to go fix it, he's mevatel the opportunity, he makes it that it's impossible to fix. How does he make it impossible to fix? So let's say the halacha is by nosar, you leave it over, so be'esh tisrofu, the way to fix it is by burning it the next day. He flushes it down the toilet, can't even get it now, he has no idea where it is. The item that he's supposed to return, be'esh v'sagzeh l'shagazal, he burns it. He has no way to return it. So he does something like that. So now he can't anymore. So at that point he would get Malkus. So says the Gemara, I understand very well, if he already took the mother, that you've already violated the Aseh, that's if you hold Kimu v'lo Kimu. But you've already violated the Lav, rather, that's if you hold Kimu v'lo Kimu. That he's done something where we told him, okay, now fix it, and he said, no, I'm not fixing it, so he's already violated the Lav. But if you hold Bitlu v'lo Bitlu, he can still fix the Lav. So how can you say that the lav is already done? It's already too late. V'sul Rabbi Yehuda damar shaleach meikarim mashma afilu asay nami leka. And if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda that shaleach is meikarim mashma, that he says that you get, that we're going to see in the next mission, Rabbi Yehuda holds you get malchus because the Rabbi Yehuda holds it's not a lav anita klase. So then even asay you don't have anymore. Ella amar, because the mitzvah asay is only right away. Ella amar mar baravashi kigon shenatla amanas l'shaleach. Now the case is you take it having in mind to be mishaleach, the lav leka asehu diika. So now you didn't violate the isra of l'sikach emalbanim, because when you took the mother, the isra of l'sikach emalbanim is to take the mother for yourself, but you took the mother to do the mitzvah. Then you changed your mind. So now you just violated the asay of shaleach to shalach, but you didn't violate the los asay of l'sikach emalbanim. So v'leisi asay v'litchi asay. So let the assay come and be docha the other assay. That's why I need a drasha to tell me of Tishalach that when there's a mitzvah, you're still chayv in shluach hakan. So says Gemara, what's the avamina? My ulma dahay assay, mehay assay. Who says one assay is stronger than the other assay? Why would you assume, had I not had a drasha, that the assay of Tzipori Mitzorah beats out the assay of shluach hakan? Maybe I would have assumed the other way. Who told you that that I would have assumed that one assay is stronger than the other assay? So Rav Elchanan just points out in Kovetz Aris, he says, what do you mean? Maybe I wouldn't have known which assay is stronger. I would have no idea which assay beats out the other one. And therefore, you know what I would have thought? That you have the option. Whichever one you want. You want to do Tzipori Mitzorah? Do Tzipori Mitzorah. You want to do Shluach Khan? Do Shluach Khan. One or the other. Whichever one you want. That's what I would have thought. And that's what I need the drasha for. Meaning, my only the highest say, the Gemara is asking, why do I need a drasha? I should have figured that there's no reason Tzipori Mitzorah should be Shluach Khan. What do you mean? But without a drasha, I would have figured there's no reason Shulach Khan should be Sibar Mitzvah either. And I would have had the option of doing whatever I wanted to do. So that's why I need the drasha. So Rav Elchanan explains that the mitzvahs over here are not equal. Because if you're not making the mitzvah of Mitzvah over here because you're Mishaleach the mother, so it doesn't mean you lost the mitzvah of Tzipor Mitzvah. You'll find another bird and do the mitzvah of Tzipor Mitzvah. But if you don't do the mitzvah of Shiluach, because you use the mother as Tzipor Mitzvah, well then you lost the mitzvah of Shiluach. So what the Gemara is really asking, my only hayase, my hayase, why would I have assumed Tzipor Mitzvah is stronger and beats out Shiluach? Adrabah, I should assume that Shiluach is stronger than Tzipor Mitzvah, because this is your only chance at this Shiluach. Tzipor Mitzvah, you can get another bird. So that's what the point is. So anyway, the Gemara is Salka, Daita Chol, Vavamar, Gadol, Shalom, Shabin, Ishtu, Ishto. Shari, Amra, Torah, Shemosh, Shal, Kadosh, Baruch, Shunuch, Vekadusha, Yimach, Alamayim. I might have thought that since the Torah tells us that Shalom Bayis is such an important Indian, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu even said that his name that's written Bekadusha could be erased Alamayim, that you're allowed to erase the Shem Hashem for the sake of Shalom Bayis. And this mitzora, if he doesn't get a tahara, is going to be asur b'tashmish shamita. He's not going to be allowed to have tashmish shamita. D'chsevei yesh mechutz alo shavas yamim. Ohlo zu ishto. Ohlo is a reference to ishto, and he has to be mechutz alo. So mikan shasur b'tashmish shamita. From there we see it's asur b'tashmish shamita. It's going to shter the shalom bayis. So ma d'teima kivin dasur b'tashmish shamita leisi asedi day v'lutchi asedi shluach hakan. So now you're faced with the dilemma. I could either do the Tzipori Mitzorah and fix the Shalom Bayis, or I could do the Mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan, so I would have had a Havamina that Tzipori Mitzorah wins, because Shalom Bayis always wins. Shalom Bayis even pushes away things that are normally usher, like erasing the Shem Hashem, come Hashem, therefore comes to tell me otherwise. Now, the Rashi points out that our Sugya must hold, like the Shita that holds, that Mitzorah is usher b'yamei Sfiro v'kolshkein b'yamei Chiluto in Tashmish Shemita, because if you hold that it's only b'yamei Sfiro that is usher, avul b'yamei Chiluto is mutter, so the Tziporim are actually not Matil Shalom Bein Ishto Ishto. Adrabah, they're Marchik Ishmi Ishto, because before you brought them, he was in Bimei Chiluto, and he was mutter to his wife. Now that you bring them, he's going to hit the Yimei Sipuro of a Mitzora, and he's going to be Aser to his wife. So if you say like that Shita, that Bimei Chiluto he's mutter, and Bimei Sipuro he's Aser, so then the whole Sugya doesn't work out. So the other Rishonim, Tosarash, and others point out that even the Mandi Amri Bimei Chiluto is Mutter, how are you going to explain this Sugya? How's this Sugya going to explain the Havamina? Meaning, okay, Rashi said, good, it works according to one Shita. What's the other Shita going to explain? How do you explain the Havamina of why Tzipori Mitzora should be Docha the Asay of Shiluach? We're back to the Kasha of Mai Umei Hayasay, Mei Hayasay. So that's the Kasha, Tosar Beta Peretz, Tosar Rash, they all ask. So the Metarets, that even though Bimei Chiluto is Mutter Beishto, but Mikol Makom, he's still Yoshev Chutz L'machane. And over there, it's his mutter b'ishto, technically meikar adin, but it's not kishmak. It's going to be very difficult to be meratza as ishto. His wife is not going to be so agreeable. They're not in a comfort zone. They're not in a place where she feels comfortable. So if they're not in a place where she feels comfortable and he's not around the house, so already that shters the shalom bayis. It's not only an issue of mutter aser. The chiyuv ona. I was just at a workshop for chassan teachers. One of the things they were saying, that the chiyuv ona is not only a chiyuv ona of actually a physical activity. The chiyuv ona is making sure that she's in a comfort zone, that she's comfortable with it, that she's relaxed, that everything is calm. That's part of the nature of the chiyuv. So of course that ruins the shalom bayis if they're not going to be comfortable, if she's not going to be calm, she's not going to be relaxed. It's going to be somewhere out michutz l'machana where she's much more nervous about things. So that's of course going to hurt the shalom bayis. This idea that we're mochik the Shem Hashem on for Shalom Bayis, just one last, we'll finish with this idea. We pointed out once that lahalacha, Rav Avadia Yosef Paskins this lahalacha, there was a case of a woman who was a balas tshuva, and she told her husband when she got married that she was not a basula, but she had never told him that she had been pregnant once before and that she had an abortion. She had never told him that. And now she was pregnant and she was expecting her first child, and the husband was so excited to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. He was all excited that he was going to be able to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen. Problem is, the halacha is that since the pregnancy had gone far enough the first time, it's not going to be Petah Rechem, and so it wasn't going to call for Pidyon HaBen. So the shaila is, the husband's going to make a brach levatal. She doesn't want to tell him, because when we're in the shalom bayis, he's going to hit the roof. It's going to. So Rav Avadia Yosef actually said, he comes up with another etzah also, but he says, technically, Mekra Din, maybe you could say, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mochik the Shem Hashem for shalom, initially ishto, so maybe the same thing, you could say a brach levatala. For Shalom, Medish Lishnam, that was straight out of this Gemara. Okay, we'll try to finish up tomorrow, Bez Hashem.